and welcome to another edition of the Full Force News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com, with me as your host, Chris. Oh my God, we're back again, McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the not-quite-sure-I-believe-this-yet news that Toys R Us are returning as true kids' brands is Adam, how are we still doing this, Riches? So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. News surfaced very recently that Toys R Us has officially emerged as a new company called True Kids Brands, with new leadership and a new retail strategy that will include an omni-channel approach and a smaller footprint. As of January 20th, 2019, the new company True Kids Inc., doing business as True Kids Brands, went into effect as the parent company of Toys R Us, Babies R Us, Jeffrey the Giraffe, and more than 20 established consumer toy and baby brands. Richard Barry, the former Global Chief Merchandising Officer at Toys R Us, will serve as President and CEO of True Kids Brands, stating that the number one priority will be to solidify the US retail strategy for Toys R Us and Babies R Us. While I can't say today what that exact strategy is, we do know that we will have an omni-channel approach that is tech immersive and experimental with a smaller footprint. I've spent my entire adult career working at Toys R Us and feel proud to be part of ensuring the next chapter of this iconic brand lives on. Toys R Us is set to open 70 stores in 2019 in Asia, India and Europe and develop new e-commerce platforms in several key markets. True Kids will be headquartered in New Jersey, just as the original company was, with a skilled team that will include returning Toys R Us employees. True Kids will serve as the parent of brands including Toys R Us, Babies R Us, Jeffrey the Giraffe, house brands which were Journeys Girls, Fastlane, True Heroes, You and Me, Imaginarium and Just Like Home. Now Adam, what are your thoughts about this news and what do you think it will mean for the toy retail environment?
Thoughts, second verse same as the first. And what will it mean for the toy retail environment? Not a whole lot, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we've, at least I've speculated for a very long time that this was the inevitable conclusion to this. I mean, we've known forever that these brand assets were just too valuable to just completely disappear. Like, that was never going to happen. We knew that. Even if it had gone to open auction, somebody would have paid a small fortune just to have that name and that image of Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So it was going to come back in some shape or form, and we don't even know if this is actually that form yet.
Do you think this is a stepping stone to, like, the actual proper return of Toys R Us as a retail giant?
I don't think that we'll ever really see that, honestly. I think that what you might see is a few key anchor, like, superstores in major markets, and those will be treated almost more like an attraction, because we'd seen that a little bit right towards the end, where they started to have these very, like, tech immersive interactive stores that were almost had sort of an amusement park feeling.
Yeah.
And I could see that, like, in Orlando, Florida, the Florida Mall, I think, has, like, the Crayola experience in it, and the M&M store, and there's all these things that are like that now, where there's these major brands that have these sort of interactive amusement park elements to them. And I kind of think that Toys R Us could head down that route for bigger, like, anchor stores, but as far as what they're proposing here, it's essentially the GameStop Think Geek business model.
Yeah, it's like a bigger version of what they've got in Kroger's right now as well, isn't it? I mean,
well, yeah, but hopefully less crap, because while I know that they obviously their house brands are valuable to them because they generate pure profit. Let's be real here. How many people that listen to this podcast could care less about Journey Girls, Fastlane, Imaginarium? So they're going to have to carry, obviously, major retailer, you know, major properties from Hasbro and Mattel and stuff.
Do you know the reason why they're not doing that from the off? Is there a reason for that? Are people, like, not secure in how Toys R Us do business at the moment? Is that probably why we're not seeing them selling lots of different brands?
Do you mean in reference to this, or with what they're already doing with Jeffrey's Toy Box?
In reference to this, because again, it's just about the Toys R Us brands. It's not about selling other brands and selling other toys, is it, at the moment?
Oh, I think it will be right out of the gate. I just think that they can't really make that kind of bold proclamation at the moment, but I think they would have to do that to sustain. I mean, you see a lot of times in malls, and those are kind of a dying breed too, but there's always these, like, what I call sort of like educational crap toy stores, you know, where they have, like, they're completely full of toys, but it's like interactive math set and, like, build a whatever and stuffed animals. And you're like, why is this here?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's what this would be if they didn't carry some known property. So there's absolutely no way that that's not in their plans, I would think. I think they just can't come out and start promoting something they don't actually have.
Are you surprised they would come out with this not having a strategy in mind? You know, like, they're coming out and saying all this, and then they're going, Even though we don't really know what we're doing, we're going to be doing it anyway. That's what it kind of feels like to me.
You know what, though? That seems to be such a common business practice now. We live in this culture of like, well, let's just talk about it and generate buzz and then figure it out later. I mean, there's like, I was just thinking about this the other day. This is totally unrelated, but the movie trailer for The New Mutants,
yeah,
I think was first shown in October of 2017, and it just recently got a release date for like late 2019. And I'm like, what have you been doing for the last 2 years if it was already shot? Like, this is kind of just business now. It's like, just say something and people will get excited.
Yeah, I suppose having to kind of hit those deadlines for things like comic cons and all the, where everyone's eyes are always like, that's where they're fixated. It's kind of like making sure that you've got something to kind of get those eyes on. And then it's like, you know, okay, great. We've created the buzz. Now, oh crap, yeah, we've got to actually come up with something, right? So yeah, I see how it's a problem more so than worth doing, really.
Yeah, and I also think it's just, in this case, it's a situation of we need to keep the name in the public consciousness and just,
yeah,
you know, every few months ping people and remind them like, oh yeah, we're still the thing, because, you know, people are quick to forget now and move on and whatever, oh, it's dead, next, on to the next thing, so... I think that by doing that, it just kind of keeps some brand awareness.
Another thing I've noticed is the constant avoidance of using Toys R Us straight up as the three-word brand name, almost as if they want to utilize the power of what it, you know, evokes in terms of nostalgia and all the good feelings, but kind of still steer away from the, I suppose, the most recent bad taste in the mouth administration scenario. So, I mean... Do you feel them like, do you see it going back to Toys R Us as it was, or do you think we're going to be thrown these randomly odd titles all the time, like the True Kids Brands is what it's being touted as at the moment?
If they don't make use of the actual name Toys R Us, then they really don't have a plan, because to me that is actually the most valuable piece of equity they have in this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, even the name, you know, Jeffrey the Giraffe, the logo, Those are peripheral elements. Like, they're nice, but they've changed a million times over the years. Jeffrey's changed his look 20 times, but the actual words Toys R Us have been parodied so much. That's so iconic. The backwards R, like, you really can't not make use of that. I mean, that would be criminal to not use that. So they can call it whatever they want, but at the end of the day, if they don't, when this actually comes to fruition, if it does, and they don't call it Toys R Us, they've made a huge misstep.
Yeah. And one last thing, I mean, you being like the original Toys R Us kid that the store was built for,
yes.
are you like excited to know that they're coming back? Is this something that you've wanted actually to happen, or are you a little concerned, or is there a little bit of both about those kind of about this whole situation?
I mean, as someone who works in toys and as someone who collects toys, I personally feel like there can never be enough of that.
Yeah.
In any form. I mean, even if I see like the American Girl store, like I couldn't care less, but like I want those things to exist because I want there to be avenues for people to get toys.
Yeah.
So I don't think any bad comes from it, but I also, yeah, obviously my primary focus in my interest in toys is action figures and things related to them, and I do wonder, how do you take something, because part of the appeal of Toys R Us is the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
How do you take that concept and you know, take the absolute core of it and still capture that in a smaller retail space? That's a real challenge, because you don't want to seem like you're just a derivative of Think Geek.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it's like, you need to have, if you're only going to have a small retail space, you need to have high product turnover to justify the cost and you know, make it worth doing. And so you don't want to have things like bicycles or sporting equipment that are going to sit there forever.
Yeah.
You don't want to have video games that you can get elsewhere. So how do you really hone in on what exactly the core is and what's the most high yielding? And that's the real challenge, I think, is how do you find an identity as a superstore in a small space? And that's going to be a challenge for them.
I mean, they've needed to streamline for a long time. I think you're right. The kind of the beauty of it was just the being hit by all of that stuff. Whether or not you bought bikes or anything like that, you would still be like, whoa, there's a whole like rack of like cool stuff over there that I have no interest in, but it looks impressive. And it's all about that kind of image, I suppose, with Toys R Us in that sense. But like you say, that's not gonna pay the bills. So they need to, yeah, you're right, they need to kind of streamline the kind of business, I suppose. I mean, where do you see the focus for Toys R Us? I mean, do you see it in action figures? Do you see it in the building block stuff? Do you see it in really young kids stuff? I mean, what is the focus of Toys R Us?
Well, that's really hard to answer because I think for so many people, it's so many different things. And if you really go by exactly what came out of Richard Berry's mouth, he says that the focus is going to be tech immersive and experiential. So it sounds to me like they're going to be trying to make a move towards presumably video games and, you know, drones and whatever the hottest tech craze may be whenever this actually starts to open. I mean, that could be anything, iPads, hoverboards, whatever the thing is at that time.
Yeah.
There's always some new tech thing. And I don't know what the right move is there, honestly. I mean, like, obviously for me, when I think of Toys R Us, I think of action figures. And if it was a store of nothing but action figures, that would be great for me. But that's not where the profit margin is, you know?
Yeah.
I think a goal for a small store is to have products that turn the highest results, and electronics are probably going to be that. But it's such a weird, complicated space, because that's kind of what Radio Shack has been in its dying years. They moved away from electronic components and started to focus more on exactly what Toys R Us is describing right now.
Yeah.
And look where it got them.
Yeah.
So that's a really tough one. And, you know, if you put too much focus on video games, what separates you from GameStop or anywhere else that carries them for that matter?
Which is already now established. It's already been going for a long time and people are used to shopping there for that particular item. And probably one of the reasons why, you know, Toys R Us went under is because they don't have that specific focus. They're, like you say, their big selling point is the kind of, you know, knock your socks off kind of, oh my god, you walk in and it's like, it's everything is everywhere. It's like it's like a, you know, a sensory overload. I personally am a bit concerned about what it's going to look like, how it's going to, you know, how, what they're actually going to do. And I don't think their own in-house brands are going to be enough, even if that's how they start this process, to, you know, keep them going, to even build from that. So I do actually honestly hope they do include those brands as well, like the other brands as well. And but have they burnt bridges? You know, I mean, Hasbro and Mattel and those kind of companies, they're going to want to come jumping straight back into this.
I honestly think that's one of those businesses just so cold. It won't even matter, because at the end of the day, those companies took massive hits. I think,
yeah,
was it like 10-15% of their entire sales came from this one store. So, yeah, you know, I think that bad blood can get put aside pretty easily when you're talking about potentially billions of dollars in profit that, you know, that they could recoup by being partnered with them again.
I mean, I suppose looking at it when it finished, you know, what kind of numbers were they doing for it, and what kind of stuff were they losing out on? Because they weren't getting paid at the end of that tenure. Hasbro weren't getting any money at all from them because they'd screwed themselves. So, like, you know, I'm not saying that that's going to be the issue from the off this time, but that I'm sure they're going to be like minimizing their footprint in that store. But anyway, all speculative at this moment in time. Anyway, Adam, thank you for jumping on and chatting about Toys R Us with me on this news burst. Much appreciated.
Always. Toys R Us forever.
True faux life, yo. That's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host, Adam Riches. See you later, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.